Today on Vox Talks Economics, was Main Street's pain Wall Street's gain during COVID? Welcome to Vox Talks Economics from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name's Tim Phillips. Every week we bring you the best new research in economics, so remember, subscribe, follow us on Instagram as well. When we were at the Paris Symposium before Christmas, there was one paper we really wanted to bring you, but we couldn't, so thanks to the miracle of the internet, now we can catch up. Main Street's pain, Wall Street's gain is a well-known phrase, but in what circumstances is it true? Nancy Hsu of Boston College is one of the authors of a new paper that shows how Wall Street's reaction to some examples of bad economic news during COVID might not be what you expect. And she's on the line now. So Nancy, welcome to Vox Talks Economics.
Hello, team. Glad to be here.
Nancy, take us back to 2020 and 2021. I'm not sure we really want to go back, but remind us, what were the macroeconomic conditions at that time?
If you recall, we had a health crisis during the first quarter of 2020, and then immediately the GDP dropped by 10%. The jobless claims increased by 600%. And by the end of the March 2020, the interest rate has dropped to zero, and the interest rate did not lift off until basically the first month of 2022.
So at that time, it's the government's job to try and stimulate the economy. What was it doing?
Exactly. Because when the market policy kind of runs out of its tools, it is in the federal government's job to continue stimulating the economy. From the perspective of the federal government, they can rescue the economy using fiscal policy tools, such as increasing the fiscal spending through direct payments to firms and individuals and the industries, which then increase the demands. They can also increase the spending through direct government investments into products and plants. For instance, we have this Paycheck Protection Program that was basically a forgivable loan program established by the US government as a part of the stimulus packages to the firms.
Now, your paper focuses on one economic statistic that is used in the US, and that is the initial jobless claims. What does this statistic mean, and how often was it reported?
Now, initial jobless claims is a measure of the number of the new filings for unemployment benefits in the past week.
Jobless claims out today, the worst we have seen since September. Another 885,000 Americans filing for first-time unemployment benefits last week, up 23,000 from the week before.
We are getting some data on the jobless numbers, probably not what this Fed chair wants to see.
And this number will be published by the Bureau of Labor Statistics every Thursday morning of the next week at 8:30 a.m.
We do come in over expectations, 196,000, but that is still very low. So we're not looking here at a major change in the initial jobless claims numbers.
So this is a very timely release of the macro condition, and it kind of tells people a lot about the real time, the economy's health. And that's why it's popularly followed by economists, by forecasters, and by academia.
I can imagine it's one of those statistics that people note, they think about for a couple of minutes and then forget about for the next week, at least quite a lot of people. But at that specific time, was it being more closely followed than usual?
Exactly. Due to the unprecedented decrease and disruption in the labor market in the US during COVID, there was a particularly heightened attention paid to labor news announcements. And people are craving for information coming out. And given this is a weekly release frequency, it was already a weekly release frequency before COVID, of course, then people started to pay a lot of attention. If you just go to the Google search and Google Trend, if you enter IGC, or it's a short name for initial jobless claim, the attention paid to IGC increased by 300% during COVID than before.
So So, Nancy, imagine I am one of those people who's paying it close attention during COVID. And it's a Thursday. It's 8:29 a.m. The statistics about to come out. Would I already have an idea in my head about what the number is expected to be?
Yes, actually, you have a number in mind. If you don't have a number in mind, there are professional forecasters that make a living by making economic forecasts before the actual announcements.
Yeah.
It is a very mature market and businesses, meaning people make forecasts or nowcasts in some sense about the current condition in real time so that they can sell the numbers to other investors and funds. And for them to make a real-time investment decisions this month instead of waiting until the number is released. And that's why in Bloomberg or Barron's, all this headline major business journals, they would publish, say, our medium forecast for this announcement coming up is this and that. And for our paper, though, and for academia, we go to Bloomberg, where we can download the median forecast of a particular announcement. And using that number, we can calculate a surprise.
Now, on initial jobless claims, expecting 210 to 212,000, 218,000.
Okay, so in my scenario, time ticks on. We get to 8:31, I guess. The numbers have been reported and say they are higher than expected. This is unequivocally bad economic news. Now, I would think that this would lower stock prices, but you are tracking, in this research, a different response. So what's the theory behind what you're analyzing here?
This question brings us back to the title of the paper, which is when the bad economic news comes out during COVID, we found stock return increases by a major amount of basis points, and that is economically sizable. And as you correctly mentioned, this is counterintuitive. However, in our paper, we propose a new hypothesis called the fiscal policy expectation mechanism. In a low interest rate crisis environment, when Main Street suffers more than expected, investors may expect more generous federal government support through fiscal policy. They might expect the likelihood of stimulus passing goes up, therefore driving up the expected future cash flow and therefore the stock prices.
Look at that pop at 8:30. You don't normally see initial jobless claims move the market, but it did today, and that's because they were much higher than expected. So bad news, kind of good news thing.
Do we know that this was something that was regularly being discussed at the time, this idea that fiscal support would come along if the economic news was bad?
Yes. And in fact, my co-author and I, you know, we were juniors and we tried to get a lot of intuitions about what's going on at the early stage of our project by reading a lot of newspapers that describe and interact each announcements. And I remember in one article in particular from February 18th of 2021, which is a very nice, beautiful Thursday morning. I was walking to my teaching, but the jobless number were worse than expected. And that is a bad news. Bad news came out. So I was planning to show students, well, we should expect in the futures market, it's a bad news. So bad news will be priced negatively in asset prices and stock returns.
Yeah.
However, we found a major positive return. Then I remember going back to my office and reading a lot of newspapers. In one Reuters article, they wrote the sentence, "This could add impetus to President Joe Biden's push for a $1.9 trillion package to aid the recovery from the pandemic." That was the moment I realized, seems like there's an active discussion going on. We scraped a lot of newspapers on the internet before and after COVID and tried to identify what do they discuss when a labor news comes out. During this particular period, people talk a lot about future fiscal support.
This is all gossip and talk at this time. When there are bad initial jobless claims, there isn't an immediate policy response that day. So why do asset prices rise straight away rather than when bills are passed or checks get sent out?
You're exactly right in the sense that there are only three major fiscal stimulus packages over the course of a year and a half in the US. But this is the contribution of the paper then. We believe even though the actual fiscal policies take actions at such a low frequency, investors' beliefs about a bill passing can change at a high frequency on a daily basis.
You remember seeing one particular occasion on which this happened. Bad jobs data leading to a rise in prices. But I'm assuming when you looked at this, you find that this happened more often.
Yeah, so it turns out the results are not just coming from the COVID episodes. If we go back in time with newspapers to find out how frequent fiscal policy is being mentioned when a labor news comes out, that time series of fiscal policy mentions and expectations actually varies over time, even before COVID. Mm-hmm. So one interesting result from the paper is the results hold if I drop the COVID period, meaning the variation in the newspapers mentioning fiscal policy can already explain maybe a mildly decrease of stock returns when the bad news comes out, and that already drives the variation that we are trying to explain.
How big is this effect? And does it affect all asset prices equally, or do some vary more than others?
So from the February 2020 to March of 2021, which is the sample period we focus on, the average daily capital gain in the S&P 500 market is $73 billion on bad economic news days.
Wow.
Whereas it is only $18 billion on the good economic news days. And on the non-macro announcement days, it's around $44 billion. And that drives, that can tell you the differences. People are putting money into the stock market and driving up stock prices, expecting the government has to do more. Now, is it same across all firms? We found firms that are expected to receive more fiscal support show higher individual stock returns when the bad news come out, which would be another identification methodology we can exploit in the paper.
At this time, the COVID period you're focusing on, there was all sorts of surprising economic news coming out all of the time. There was a lot of volatility in stock price, a lot of uncertainty. Can you be sure that this is what's actually going on?
Yeah, so this is then our empirics job to make sure we are identifying things very well. Mm-hmm. One advantage we have is we're looking at the announcement day responses.
Yeah.
Of course, outside the announcement days, there are another 4 days of the week and a lot of things can happen. So that's why if we just focus on the 1 day responses, this still helps with identification. And other things we can do is that we can drop the overlaps with other major events, which we'll also do, so that we can have a fair amount of confidence that on that day, this is one single big news of the day.
I see, because there will be some days as well when there were multiple big announcements. Do you just exclude those from your data?
Exactly.
So, Nancy, what can we learn from this? Specifically, what can policymakers learn from this? Because obviously what was going on around COVID was a very special time. There was government intervention needed and monetary policy was not going to be effective. So are there lessons that we can carry into the future?
I think the paper can generate a lot of follow-up work. For instance, if you think about what's the main message of the paper, this work established the fact that investors form active expectations of fiscal policy. Let's think beyond that. For instance, when people form active expectations of cash flow for future, what would they do now? Mm-hmm. They would increase their consumption. They would think, okay, I have this secure money in my pocket. I can resign from my previous job. No, I might have other labor options. I might have another borrowing decisions because of this government put is strongly rooted in their mind at that point. Mm-hmm. And this could feed back into the macroeconomy through, again, consumption behaviors, labor options, borrowing decisions. And this is precisely what we observe in terms of the inflation hikes and what we call the great resignation in the US during late 2021 and 2022. So I think the message is essentially perhaps the distributional effect of this policy had already happened by changing actively people's expectation of it, which gets capitalized in high frequency. And the one advantage of being a financial economist is that we know how the asset prices move, and asset prices will reveal a lot of expectations in high frequency. And that is the advantage of using stock prices to help us filter out that time-varying fiscal price expectation channel that we'll document in this paper.
Turns out that the title of your paper wasn't just a joke. There's actually something in it. Nancy, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, team.
The title of the paper is, of course, Main Street's Pain, Wall Street's Gain. And the authors are Nancy Xu and Yang Yu.
This has been a Vox Talk. If you like what you hear, subscribe. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. And you can listen to clips of past episodes when you follow us on Instagram at Vox Talks Economics.